Today on Straight Talk Africa, until recently, Zambia was considered one of the beacons of hope for African democracy. Observers say that reputation is being threatened. This because opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema is in jail charged with treason. Zambian action groups say the charges are politically motivated. Hichilema's party does not recognize the legitimacy of the last vote of the presidency of Edgar Lungu. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Ayan Bior, your social media reporter.
Today, it's a discussion on the trials and tribulations of challenges of democracy in Zambia.
And coming up later, you, our audience, has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook, and Twitter comments. And we'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
Zambia has managed to avoid the war and upheaval that's marred many of its neighbors' post-colonial history. My VOA colleague Paul Sisco says the beautiful nation's well-earned reputation for political stability is under threat.
Zambia. Even saying the word is a multi-sensory experience. It somehow captures something of the essence of this special place in the warm heart of Southern Africa.
If only more of that Zambia was reflected in its politics. A Zambian court this week refused to drop treason charges against Hakainde Hichilema. The main opposition leader allegedly blocked Zambian President Edgar Lungu's motorcade in April. Hichilema is the leader of the United Party for National Development. The UPND says it doesn't recognize President Edgar Lungu as Zambia's legitimate president because it believes last year's elections were fraudulent. The court documents read differently, saying that Mr. Hichilema, while acting together with other persons unknown, did endeavor to overthrow by unlawful means the government of Edgar Lungu. His lawyers wanted the treason charge thrown out, in part for lack of details regarding the charge. Hichilema and five aides appeared in court April 18th. The opposition leader is shown here leaving the courthouse and being returned to jail. Many Zimbabweans are calling for his release. Government spokespersons say President Lungu's position remains the same. The president respects the due process of law, and his intervention in any court matter is only possible once the due process of law is complete, they say. If convicted of treason, Hichilema faces a minimum jail term of 15 years. The maximum sentence is the death penalty. Jack Mwimbu says his client has always known that President Lungu, who is also the Patriotic Front party leader, wanted to charge him with a non-bailable offense, so he's not shocked.
As the situation is now, I'm not able to make any comment. We have made an application before the court pertaining to the validity of the charge, which we have challenged, and the court will be making a decision on it. I can't go further than that.
The opposition candidate is frequently in and out of police detention. The charges were strongly condemned by the non-government organization Coordinating Council. That's an umbrella body of Zambian action groups. Zambia is rapidly becoming one of the world's most welcoming tourist destinations with its spectacular wildlife, Victoria Falls, and until recently, political stability. Since the 2016 August vote, Hichilema and the UPND have launched several unsuccessful legal bids challenging President Lungu's victory. The United Nations says Zambia has one of the world's fastest growing populations, and its current population of 13 million people is expected to triple by 2050. Despite years of some economic growth and massive Chinese investment in Zambia, the lives of most Zambians have not significantly improved for decades, and two-thirds of Zambians are still living in poverty. Paul Sisco, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Paul Sisco, for that report. Joining us here in our Washington studio is Clarissa Mwampa-Kayosa, a Zambian human rights and development consultant here in Washington, D.C., and my colleague, Peter Kelote, host of VOA Nightline Africa radio program. Well, I have to say, Clarissa and Peter, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. And Father Frank Bualia, deputy spokesman of the ruling Patriotic Front Party, joins us live via telephone link up from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. Also joining us from Lusaka is Dr. Sishua, a Zambian political commentator. Gentlemen, it's a pleasure to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you very much, Sadi.
You're most welcome, sir. Thank you so much, Shaka. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. Your country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Clarissa. You come from a very beautiful country.
Well, thank you very much.
It has been incredibly stable for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. What happened?
Well, that's what we all want to find out. You know, Zambia has been a very peaceful country. Zambians are very peaceful people. Things just started changing. The last election, there was a lot of chaos, and that is not traditional Zambia. So these are the things that we want to find out. We do not know what has been happening to cause that kind of boldness for people to behave the way they are behaving. So a lot has been going on in Zambia, and that's what we want to find out.
My colleague, Peter, I probably cannot think of any other reporter, frankly, that has covered Zambia very, very closely like you. When you talk to those various individuals, what do you learn from that? Why are we talking about this today for a country, frankly, that has had the reputation of being one of the beacons of hope for African democracy?
Shaka, unanimously, when I have spoken to some of these political people in Zambia, they trace the problem right down to when former or deceased President Michael Sata died and there was a by-election, and Edgar Chagwalungu, then the defense minister, was able to win by a slim margin. Hakainde Hichilema, the UPND leader, felt he was cheated at that time. So he felt he had the chance to defeat Edgar Lungu in the main election after Edgar Lungu finished the term of the deceased President Michael Sata. So once it came to the last year's election and he also lost by a slim margin, he felt there were some way that the Electoral Commission, you know, fiddled with some of the figures that allowed Edgar Lungu to win. So that is where the problem lied, because after Zambia, which boasts of being the bastion of peace and stability in the Southern African region, for over 20 people to be reported to have died out of clashes between supporters of the main opposition party, UPND, and the Patriotic Front, is unheard of. So that is where they trace the problem from, Shaka.
Now, I know that you interviewed a former chairperson of the Zambian Electoral Commission, and I also had the opportunity to do so. And that was a widely respected lady by Irene Mambilima. Mm-hmm.
Justice Irene Mambilima, yes.
And she was moved to the Supreme Court.
Yes, she was.
And then stuff happened.
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, opposition supporters think that there were political calculations by the PF to take her away from there because she is seen as unbiased, she is strict, she upholds the true nature of ensuring an independent electoral commission. And that is why they thought that she was moved away to pave way for people who otherwise might be easily influenced. Of course, I spoke with Prisla Isaac, who is the director of elections at the Electoral Commission, who sharply denies that, and that they did everything according to the book, and that the elections that were held were credible, transparent, free, and fair. Of course, the UPND denies that too.
Obviously, Madame was replaced by someone who used to be her deputy, mm-hmm. Esau Chulu.
Esau Chulu, yes.
What do you say of him?
Well, I tried several times to speak with him. However, he said his schedule was a little tight. So I will either speak with the spokesman of the Electoral Commission or go straight to the Director of Elections, Priscilla Isaac, to tell me what the processes were. What really jogged my memory was the fact that the ballot papers, which usually were printed in South Africa for the first time, seemed to have switched to be printed somewhere in the Middle East.
In Dubai,
to be specific. And the UPND says this was a clear indication that something was amiss, because a similar thing happened in the Ugandan election, where the ballot papers were printed there, and, you know, things happened, and President Museveni won. So they drew conclusion that the Electoral Commission, for want of a better word, wanted to rig the election in favor of the Patriotic Front president, in this case, President Edgar Chagwa Lungu.
I see. Father Frank Bwalya.
Yes, please.
Why are we talking about this now? Because let's face it, you know as well as I do that your country, frankly, has had a very distinguished record for being a beacon, if not one of the beacons of hope for African democracy.
We are talking about this because the world wants Zambia to continue being a beacon of peace, to continue being an example of true democracy, not only in Africa, but in the world at large. That's the reason why we are talking about this. Does this therefore mean that Zambia has lost it, that Zambia has stopped to respect the tenets of democracy, multi-party democracy? Not at all. It's a question of the world being concerned because they want Zambia to continue with the reputation that it has earned for itself. And what we can assure the world as the governing party in Zambia is that President Edgar Chagwa Lungu is a Democrat. He will not go back on that. He's going to continue upholding democracy. He will continue to respect the opposition. He's a man, as a matter of fact, who is even criticized for being too tolerant. He's a man that is being criticized by some people for being a good man. That is Mr. Edgar Chagwa Lungu for you.
I see.
So we are talking about this issue not because Zambia is losing those credentials, no, but because the world wants Zambia not to lose these credentials, and we as governing party can assure the world that it will not happen.
Very interesting. What about you, Dr. Sishua? What is your take on this?
Well, I think that if we agree that Zambia was the beacon of peace and democracy, the very fact that we are talking about the country in a different context now suggests that there has been a departure from the tenets of democracy for which the country was previously known. And I think that with reference to the current crisis, the problem, in my view, stems from elections which were held last year, which were seen by the opposition and many stakeholders as far from perfect. This is a country, you'd recall, where we have had two turnovers of power in 1991 when President Kaunda lost power to an opposition party after having been in power for 27 years, and in 2011, when the current party, the Patriotic Front, defeated the former governing party, the MMD. So we had this tradition where elections are largely transparent, free and fair, and the 2016 elections were far from the previous elections in terms of transparency and fairness. So the consequence of that is that you have a government in place that lacks legitimacy because of the manner in which those elections were held. And the long process of that is what has brought us to where we are today, particularly to this topic.
Who is the primary stakeholder in Zambia Is it the Zambian people or the development partners?
Well, it's the Zambian people. The development partners can only come in to help what the Zambians themselves have decided they want for their country. So the primary stakeholders in this case are Zambians themselves.
Thank you very much. Now we will pause for a short break, and we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming on Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa and watch our show live, and don't forget to share it with your friends. Also, we are on Twitter, follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka, and join in today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Zambia. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidiyuwat, and of course this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Let me come to you again, Kralisa. We do know that the Zambian major opposition leader, Hakainde Hichilema, is in jail. He's also been charged with treason, but of course the opposition and a lot of observers say, no, these are basically politically motivated charges. Mm-hmm. How do you respond to that?
I think they are politically motivated, really.
Why would they be politically motivated when it is said he had the dubious privilege of driving on a freeway that was at the same time intended to be used by His Excellency the President?
First of all, I don't believe that's a treasonable charge. I think that's a highway offense. And maybe, in the US it would be road rage when you look at it in a different level. Mm-hmm. But I believe it's more politically motivated because, this may not be founded, but I believe that they had requested air passage initially to travel to the ceremony that was taking place in Limulunga, in the western part of Zambia. And they were denied that because the president was using the airspace at the same time. So they decided to drive since they couldn't fly at the same time. And to their amazement, at a certain point, a motorcade was coming behind them. And I'm sure they did know. And they were expected to move, which I believe they should have given way, but they didn't. And that became an issue later on. And when they went to the ceremony, I believe there was a lot of support from the people that were at the ceremony, because I believe most of them were UPND supporters. So when the HH, as he's known in Zambia, left, a lot of those supporters left. So there were not many people left during the ceremony. So I believe all of those things were building up. And I think the most important one of all is because Hakainde Hichilema has not recognized the president, the presidency of the current president, Edgar Chagwa Lungu. So I believe all of those things have built up to what has become the case right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why I believe it's all politically motivated.
Very interesting. Peter, again, you obviously have been covering and monitoring the Zambian situation very, very closely. Was he the only passenger driving on that highway, it seems to me that I have seen reports suggesting, in fact, that there were many, many others.
It was a convoy. When I spoke with Jack Mwimbu, his personal, but his defense attorney, and who is a leading member of the legal team of the UPND, he says that it was a convoy of at least 100 cars, his words, not mine. So he was surprised that they would charge, they would single him out and a few others to charge them with treason. But he said at no point in time was the president's life in danger, of which will attract that charge of treason. And he vehemently denied that Hakainde Hichilema wanted to put the president's life in danger. I spoke with Charles Kakoma, the spokesman of the party, who said that President Lungu even attempted to wave at Hakainde Hichilema during that period. So it was surprising that they would turn around and charge him. This was because the press secretary of the president had gone on the air and said that the police should charge Hakainde Hichilema with treason. And then the police went ahead to charge him. So they said, if you follow the chronology of events, one, the attorney says, the government does not have any empirical evidence to charge Hakainde Hichilema of putting the president's life in danger. That is why they say that these charges were politically motivated. Of course, the ruling party denies that.
Very interesting. Father Boalia.
Yes, please.
I hope you have been listening. What about you? Do you have any problem with those people who say that these charges against Hakainde Hichilema may in fact be politically motivated?
Yeah, maybe before I speak about that, allow me to say that we are presuming on this program that the people who are commenting on the Zambian situation are being objective and honest, but it's not true. Some of the things that are being said on the program are not true, and people are not being objective. For instance, it is not true that when Mr. Hakainde Hichilema left the ceremony, the Kuomboka ceremony, there were a few people that remained behind. It's not true, and we need to be honest with one another here. It is also not true, as Dr. Sishua said, that Zambian elections were deemed not free and fair by many stakeholders. That is not true. The majority, if not all the stakeholders that monitored the election, including church mother bodies and so on, international organizations, including regional bodies, all of them without exception, all of them without exception, described the Zambian election as free and fair and credible. The fact that Mr. Hakainde Hichilema has refused to accept the outcome is of no surprise to Zambians, because he said it before a single ballot was cast. Before the election, he had said he was not going to accept the outcome. Now, talking about his arrest, PF did not arrest the man, it's the police. And there is a clear distinction in Zambia between the state and the governing party. So on our part, as the Patriotic Front, we cannot speak about his arrest, the merits and demerits of it. That is for the police. But what we do know is that Mr. Hakainde Hichilema was not sleeping in his house and then visited by the police, accused of having been in Mongu, accused of having refused to give way to the presidential motorcade. That we know is not true. And it is very surprising and almost laughable on fact that somebody can describe what happened in Mongu if it happened in America as a road rage. No. You can't block the American president on a highway and that simply considered as a road rage. No. I think we need to be honest with one another here. So the police have arrested the man. They have charged him with a number of offenses. We also read about these offenses in the media when the police issue a statement. And therefore, it is not for us to say whether indeed what he did amounts to treason, whether his announcement that he would soon go to State House, knowing too well that under the Zambian constitution, the current constitution, amended constitution, there's no way somebody who is not president in this country can claim that they are going to soon become president. Because if Mr. President Lungu died, the vice president will take over. If Mr. Vice President died,
the cabinet will have to sit and choose from amongst themselves somebody who would become president.
Father Bwadi, I think your point is well made, is taken care of. What about you, Dr. Sishua? We have heard, of course, people approaching or appealing to the president to interfere and figure out a way of perhaps making sure that Hichilema is out of jail. And the president has said that, you know what, I cannot interfere because here in Zambia, such is an issue that should be sorted out by the courts. You are a Zambian, you are a political observer. To what extent would you say, for example, that the Zambian judiciary is an independent, impartial umpire? Do you have the separation of the ruling party in Zambia today from the state? Or are they, as some people have suggested, are they fused together? In which case, frankly, the executive perhaps influences what happens in the judiciary.
Well, public confidence in the judiciary, I think, over the recent past, has plummeted, in part because of the poor handling of the election brought by the opposition to the aftermath of the election. The Constitutional Court, which has demanded to hear the election petition, an elected presidential candidate, did not hear the matter. It is for hearing it on technicality by saying that the timing, the 14 days in which the case is to be decided had lapsed. And that decision did not sit well with many Zambians. But the spokesperson of the president, President himself, appeared on national television some time back suggesting that the president controls the three branches of government, parliament, executive, and judiciary. And he made these remarks in the aftermath of a few judgments which had not gone against, which had gone against the executive, warning judges, judiciary in general, that the drastic judicial reforms will be introduced if the judges continue to involve themselves in politics. A euphemism which many saw as saying that if you continue ruling against the ruling party or the government, then you introduce drastic reform. So when you consider the poor handling of the petition, the statements from the ruling political elite, for example, including the spokesperson of the president, you know, comments like those consequently undermine the credibility of the judiciary. And many people in the country right now feel that the judiciary is not inserted.
Very interesting. You are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. We'll have more of our discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away.
And not just the next generation of African leaders, they are today's leaders. And this is the time to invest in them. Today, not tomorrow. So let's connect. Let's engage with each other on issues that will transform our societies. Innovation, leadership, entrepreneurship, things that you're doing to move the continent forward to make you the greatest generation that Africa has known. It's Upfront every Wednesday, 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on The Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githiri-Ewart, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Ayen Bior. Take it away, Ayen.
Thanks, Shaka. Zambia's main opposition party, the United Party for National Development, led by Hakainde Hichilema, has accused the government of President Edgar Lungu of trying to frame it for arson. Hakainde has been arrested and charged with treason, but his party says this is an excuse for greater political suppression. Well, this leads us to our question of the week, which asks, do you feel that opposition leader Hakainde Hichilema is being treated fairly by the Zambian government? Well, before we begin, I'd like to thank all of you for using our social media platforms to communicate with us. And let's go straight to a tweet from Prince Habat Nkula from Uganda. He writes, in my opinion, no. The aim of every government is to remain in power. But then in Africa, it's at every cost possible. Very interesting. We have another tweet from Mwanda Hitingwa from Zambia, who says, my freedom is my right. My rights are my freedom. Our freedom is our right. Our rights is our freedom. Hakainde Hichilema, he ends his tweet using the hashtag FreeHH. Of course, HH is in reference to Hakainde Hichilema. Well, now to a comment from our comment of the week from Facebook fan Nadwiza Chilambwe from Kenya, who writes, Three simple things here. One, Hakainde Hichilema doesn't accept that there is a president in Zambia. Two, his actions in Mungu were treasonous and very much in line with his pompous stance that Edgar Lungu is not the president. And three, when the police went to arrest him, he evaded them and hid in a pre-designed bunker. Force was necessary to smoke him out, as is done with any fleeing suspect. It's very interesting. Now let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Michael Chipo from Zambia, who writes, Zambia is by all logical descriptions now a flawed democracy. Hichilema is a victim of state oppression. He was framed just so he could be forced to drop his pursuit of justice in regards to the presidential election petition and the right to be heard. And our last Facebook comment comes from Matthews Kalengo of Zambia, who writes, absolutely, yes, I believe Hichilema is being treated fairly. He thinks because he has a large following in 3 provinces out of 10, he can do anything, and the people will rise to defend him. He is always banking on violence as a refuge for his bad deeds. He thinks he is untouchable simply because he is a big opposition leader. The laws must apply to everyone. Very interesting. Now, a reminder that we appreciate all the audience feedback, so please keep them coming. And if you're a new fan, drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com, or post your comment on our Facebook page. Enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Interact with our show as it's streaming live. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Sign up to VOA TV to Africa and follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. A reminder that the show is streaming live every Wednesday. Go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page on our website, or simply watch us live on your mobile device. Just download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program. On the next Straight Talk Africa, the future of sub-Saharan Africa's development lies in the hands of its youth. In her new book, Ambassador Robin Renee Sanders says growth and progress is being driven by small and medium-sized enterprises. That's on the next Straight Talk Africa. Well, that's all for today's social media segment. Shaka, you and the guest have a lot of social media comments to discuss. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Ayen, for sharing some social media reaction with us. And welcome back to the Trials and Tribulations of Democracy in Zambia. Our distinguished guests are Clarissa Mwampa Kayosa, Human Rights and Development Consultant, my colleague Peter Kelote, host of VOA Nightline Africa program, and Father Frank Bwaria, Deputy Spokesman, the ruling Patriotic Front Party. And also, we're joined by Dr. Sishua, Zambian political commentator from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have to say, as I said before, profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the four of you on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Your reaction to some aspects of the social media reaction?
I just want to respond to the one that talked about him hiding in his bunk, and I will not address the pompous part because I do not know him personally. But from history, what I have known is every time Hakainde Hichilema has been summoned by the police, he has gone. So this one was very different. I do not know why he was approached at night. The lights
at his house.
At his home, and they turned off the power in the area, and they sprayed tear gas in the place. I think he did the right thing to stay in hiding until...
They actually sprayed tear gas?
They did.
Do you have any incontrovertible evidence of that? Not
yes.
liable to falter?
Well, I mean, his wife has spoken, and the media has covered it as well. The print media has covered it. And he came out later the following morning when other people were gathered there. I think it was only for his safety that he came out, because apparently his whole house was destroyed. A lot was done to his home. So if he had come out at night, heaven knows what would have happened to him.
Interesting.
Yes.
Peter, if what Clarissa is saying is true, why, frankly, would a patriotic Zambian, a tax-paying Zambian, a man that has companies that employ a lot of people and all that kind of stuff, a man, in fact, who could be president of Zambia, why would he be treated as if he was a terrorist?
Well, the police came out saying that they treated him fairly and that he resisted arrest. And when you resist arrest, the law provides for the police to use necessary force to enforce the law. And that all these accusations against the police are unfounded, and they did everything by the book. However, the Zambian Conference of Catholic Bishops, led by Telesphore Impundu, came out and said that the police did not handle the matter correctly, and that they should have handled him more humanely. They possibly could have invited him to the police for discussion. But then others are saying that the charges were serious, and that this is a serious matter. He can't just be treated like an ordinary criminal, and that the allegations were that he put the president's life in danger. As such, the enforcement of the law has to be enforced. However, the bishop said one thing, and I would want to quote without any equivocation. He said, the bishop said, Zambia is now all except in designation a dictatorship. They said there are signs that shows that Zambia is gradually tilting towards a dictatorship. The Patriotic Front denies that, and they have said that President Edgar Chagwa Lungu, as well as the Patriotic Front, respect the right of everybody to speak, as guaranteed in the Constitution, they said.
You've spoken to some senior government officials, including the president's spokesperson.
Right.
What did he say when you put the question to him?
Well, he said that they stand by what the police did, and that what the police did was in accordance with what is required in Zambian law, and that when you resist arrest to the police has to use... They have to use necessary force to bring you to book. And that is what is done. And that President Lungu will not intervene in the legal process because the separation of the various arms of government, and that the law should take its course. Once that is done, and there's transparency and everything else, you know, if he's free, he can go. If not, then he faces the full rigors of the law.
Father Bwalya?
Yes, please.
I know that people are entitled to their different opinions, but certainly not their different sets of facts. What is your reaction to what you just heard?
They come again?
I said that I know that people are entitled to different opinions, their different
their
opinions.
Yes.
But certainly not their different sets of facts.
No.
So, your reaction, because earlier you said that...
Talking about the letter of Archbishop Mpundu, and even as I comment on that, people shouldn't forget that I'm a bona fide priest. Some people may be surprised that I'm saying I'm a bona fide Catholic priest, having announced that I had left the ministry. What I mean is that according to canon law, I was validly ordained, and therefore that ordination cannot be withdrawn. So I'm speaking with that background, knowing about the practices of the Roman Catholic Church and what is prescribed in canon law. When Archbishop Mpundu spoke, he was not speaking on behalf of Catholics in Zambia. He was speaking to Catholics and to people of goodwill. That being the case, what he says is not supposed to be taken as gospel truth. It's up to the people to whom he's speaking, Catholics and people of goodwill, to agree or disagree with him. But we give our leaders, church leaders, a lot of respect that even when what they say is not based on accurate analysis of what is going on, we respect what they say. We respect their opinion. And the reaction of government was that government was open to dialogue. But as many people have agreed with the police, when somebody commits an offense, which is serious, the police move there and then to go and arrest the person. But a lot of issues have been blown out of context and proportion in terms of what happened when they went to arrest him. The man hid in a bunker, as many people have said. And the police needed to get him because they wanted to arrest him. What his people have been saying is that he didn't know who had come to the gate, and that is the reason why he refused to cooperate. But that is not the truth. The truth is that he didn't want to get himself arrested, and he hid in the bunker. I also need to emphasize that the fact that one opposition leader in Zambia has been arrested and there is cause for that arrest has not eroded our democratic credentials. And in this country, the tension that they are talking about out there is not being felt. The situation in Zambia is not that commuter transport has been grounded. The situation is not that people are withdrawing huge amounts of money to buy food, to stockpile, because they don't know what is going to happen tomorrow. Not at all. Much to the contrary of UPND supporters who thought that the country would go up in flames when their leader is arrested and the government would release him because of that. That is not what is happening. Zambia continues to be stable. People continue to go about their business as usual. As a matter of fact, the lawyers are meeting this time around, and they applied that all the cases in court requiring the presence of lawyers should be adjourned. And I want to believe Mr. Kainde Hichilema's case also has been further adjourned, keeping him in behind bars further.
Dr. Sishua Sishua, are you there? Are you there, Dr. Sishua Sishua?
Maybe as you're trying to get him, can I make one small point, please?
No, sir. Dr. Sishua Sishua, are you there? Well, I'm afraid that we seem to have lost Dr. Sishua Sishua. I would appeal to our producers, perhaps, to try and see whether they can raise him again. Let me come to you, Clarissa. If you were to talk to me from the deepest better part of the bottom and the soul of your Zambian heart, is there any particular reason, for example, why incumbent President Lungu really would not borrow a leaf from the examples of great role models within Zambia? We're talking about founding president, Dr. David Kenneth Kaunda, a man who had been at the political helm of Zambia for 27 years, and back in 1991, he loses an election and concedes defeat with grace. And then you have another gentleman, Rupia Banda, an incumbent president, conceding defeat in 2011, honestly, when in fact he could have taken advantage of incumbency and using the institutions, for example, of violence to retain power.
You see, as a Zambian, and I had said, as I had said earlier, Zambia has been a very, very peaceful nation. And there is nothing wrong with the current president, you know, going back to the ones that were there before him to get counsel. He may be doing it, I do not know that. But the way things are right now is not the Zambia that I want to live in. It's not the Zambia that I want to leave for my children. So what is going on right now in the country is very disheartening. You see, we have never seen this kind of turmoil in the nation. People dying during elections, closing down of media offices, you know, intimidation during elections. It's just not a good situation right now to be in Zambia. And there are so many people he could borrow a leaf from. There's nothing wrong with that.
For example?
I mean, he could, like you said, he could talk to KK. The way KK handled things, I had best friends growing up. I didn't know what tribe they were. But now it's important to know what tribe a person is.
Really?
Well, I mean, not in that sense, but people know the Bembas, the Tongas, the this, the that. So this is not something we grew up with.
Given the manner in which your country, under founding president Kaunda, reached out, frankly, to help and liberate its sisters and brothers from the rest of Southern Africa, how can you talk about tribes? It seems to me there is only one tribe, human tribe,
exactly.
Perhaps the African tribe.
Exactly. There's only one tribe, and that's the African tribe. And Kaunda's One Zambia, One Nation slogan is what kept us together as one.
And a man, in fact, who happened to be a protege of Ghanaian founding president, the Osagyefo, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah.
Yes.
Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, a man from Crowfield, and I have traveled there with his daughter, Samia. It is so far away from the capital, Accra. If you looked at the social conditions, frankly, you would never think that this kid from Crowfield would actually have an African vision, would be the man that would want to liberate Africa. You think he would simply say, I have killed my beast. I can now start eating the meat.
You see, as a Zambian, as a peace-loving Zambian, it doesn't matter to me who is in power, what tribe they are, which part of the country they come from. I just want someone who has a sense of justice for all, someone who cares for everybody. I don't vote based on where a person comes from. As you said, I vote based on the human tribe. That's what's important at the end of the day.
Very interesting. Peter, again, I'm reminded that there's no democracy in Studio 52.
I understand.
That I have to go. A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. If you wish to participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment, so please, don't go away.
The lyrics could be French,
English,
Portuguese,
Bantu,
Arabic.
It is the beat,
the African beat that counts.
The beat does all the translations.
It cuts across all languages and gives us the understanding that this is the African beat.
It is so distinct
and adhesive.
It binds us together.
African Beat on the Voice of America. For more information, visit our website at www.voanews.com/AfricanBeat.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook. Keywords, Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Githiri Ewart. And of course, this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Again, let me come to you, Peter. You obviously have touched base with a lot of newsmakers in as far as the Republic of Zambia is concerned. From your interactions, what have you learned, at least in terms of what they suggest would frankly be the appropriate way forward?
Well, they talked about easing social-political tension through dialogue. They think dialogue and reconciliation are the best steps to take to reconcile the people, ease tension, and ensure the One Zambia mantra that President Edgar Lungu is espousing will be rationalized. However, the stumbling block is President Lungu came out with a statement saying that all those people who are urging him to ensure a dialogue between him and other opposition parties should also encourage the opposition parties to recognize him as the legitimate president first before he engages them in dialogue. That is the precondition that is affecting or is hindering talks at the moment, because the UPND has vowed not to accept him as the legitimate president until its case in court is, you know, is resolved, without which they will still not recognize him. As long as it's in court, they will not recognize him, and that is the stumbling block right now, because both are staying at their corners, unwilling to give an inch to allow for dialogue to proceed.
Very interesting. Father Bwadia? Father Bwadia, can you hear me? What about Dr. Sishua? All lines are down. Let me come back to the studio. You heard, of course, what Peter has said. What do you think about that? Is it possible, for example, for HH to recognize Edgar Lungu's presidency, perhaps, in fact, without some kind of election auditing? We are talking about the last year's election.
I believe they should be given their day in court. And until that happens, I don't think they're going to concede to any Edgar Lungu's winning of the presidency.
But which courts are you talking about? Because you heard, of course, Dr. Sishua saying that public opinion somehow believes that the judiciary system of Zambia is not independent.
That's true. I heard him say that, but I still believe that's the only way. If they're given their day in court, then at least, you know, they'll concede to the fact that the election was lost and PF won the elections. And it's unfortunate that the judiciary system has also been corrupted in a way, because when that breaks down, then I guess the rule of law now becomes an issue in any nation. So I really, going back to your question, I do not see them accepting the presidency without that.
Now, you know as well as I do, Peter, that the six judges that form the Constitutional Court were actually appointed by incumbent President Lungu, against a lot of presses. In fact, some of his critics, in fact, suggest that even some of the judges, frankly, do not probably measure up. They probably shouldn't, in fact, have been members of the court. So where do we go from here?
Well, it's a stalemate.
You have the issue, of course, of the ballot papers being printed in Dubai, and all the evidence, frankly, suggests that it was not because it was cheaper in Dubai. On the contrary, it was perhaps even more than twice as much compared to the company that used to print them in South Africa. Of course, the government talks about, or the Electoral Commission talks about, how the Dubai company had some special security features of that sort. But there's no evidence, frankly.
Well, when I spoke with the director of elections in Zambia, she was adamant about the security features, because she thought that the security features are key to the integrity of the election. Failure to do that, they said, could undermine the integrity of the election, which could further erode confidence that Zambian voters had in the system, and that is why they had to take it far away. Now, provisions they made, she said, were that all political party representatives would be present at the printing of the ballot papers. However, the key criticism was that the representatives were not on the plane when the ballot papers were transported from Dubai to Lusaka, Zambia. And that is what the opposition said could be used, you know, to switch things here and there to favor the ruling party, which the ruling party denies, of course.
I think that I would probably, frankly, be remiss if I did not extend our Straight Talk Africa birthday congratulations to Zambia's founding president, Dr. David Kenneth Kaunda. This is a man, by the way, who frankly played a very, very significant role at the inception of this program, which has actually been on air for almost 17 years. I remember one time when he was at Boston University, when he was on a fellowship there, he came here, he was in the studio, and one of your former presidents, Flight Lieutenant John Jerry Rawlings, retired but not tired.
Absolutely.
Was also in VOA studios in London. They had the program, it was a great program, at least when I heard from people who watched the program. And therefore, we have to frankly say that, you know, he deserves a lot. And the man is now 93. His other peer, of course, is a Zimbabwean president, a neighboring person, Robert Gabriel Mugabe. Well, your reaction about your founding president?
About his birthday or his whole being?
Your being.
I think he's a great man. He made his mistakes, which he, you know, publicly accepted. He acknowledged the mistakes he had made and how he could have done things better. I remembered speaking with him some years ago when he was in Boston. He had come to Cornell. And we spoke. And one of the things he said, it's very difficult to know what's going on around you when you're in the State House. People don't tell you the truth. So you take what people tell you as the gospel truth. You don't know that people are suffering as much as they are because the people around you are telling you everything is okay. So you go according to what people tell you. So, I mean, he acknowledged his faults. He's human, he made some mistakes, but I think I miss the old Zambia.
Actually, I also learned a bit from him saying, I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to interact with you. Such was the man.
Yeah. I was surprised when he told me, he asked me where I was from. When I told him, he said, I'm proud to be a protege of Nkrumah.
Well, you got it. On that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Clarissa Mwampa-Kayosa, my colleague Peter Kelote, Father Frank Bwalya, and to Dr. Sishua, who joined us via telephone link up from the Zambian capital, Lusaka. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning, it's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, Zambia. And please remember to keep the African hopes alive.